You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Monday, as I already start a little bit flustered. Big weekend for UA football, or not a big weekend for UA football. Lots going on in the world of sports, and rarely I talk about it, but the Major League Baseball playoffs are still going strong. Monday Night Football tonight, so I'll keep you up to date with the scores. But the weekend football game that many people went to, about 50,000 strong, 47 around that area, 47,000. Saw a good Arizona football team for about a quarter and a half, and then Washington showed up and played the rest of the second half. Not a shock to me at all. I thought they would get beat pretty badly. I don't know if 51-27 is badly, but they couldn't handle Washington. And the biggest thing that I thought would be the step up in class, and Arizona couldn't handle it over the long haul. They played good in sports, or played well in sports, but just not enough spurts. There's no question about that. Tom, did you see the game?
I did.
And first, the good news. What did you like? Take your time. Not much?
I liked the way it started. The first quarter was enjoyable. Right. And the defense seemed to be excited and up for the game. Mm-hmm. But that seemed to only last for the first quarter.
First quarter. And they escaped not being down 14-0 because...
Well, they were leading at the half.
They were 17-13, but they were lucky to be in the situation they were in the first half because Washington didn't score or take advantage of the mishaps from Arizona.
Yeah,
so that was a good thing.
In the second half.
They did in the second half, yes. No, in fact, it was kind of... as the team was leaving to the locker room at halftime, I said to myself, after hearing the big crowd applause as they were going into the locker room, I'm thinking, this team has a lot of confidence. They're playing with a lot of confidence. And I thought, maybe a little part of me said, maybe they'll pull this off. And then the first drive happened by Washington, and it just didn't look the same.
Do you agree with me that if I say this, as goes Khalil Tate, so goes the Wildcats?
I would agree with that to a degree, yes.
Because what I saw in the second half, when Khalil just couldn't seem to, and I guess we have to put some of this on Mazzoni as far as play calling, but they couldn't solve what the Washington defense was doing.
Yeah, no, and they're much better. Let's give the Washington a lot of credit because they're much better.
But I didn't see, did you see any crossing patterns on any of the...
No.
Routes that the receivers were running?
No,
I didn't.
No, and you're not going to see that because Khalil can't do those well.
He can't seem to find those guys going across the middle.
He's not good at that. He's just not. He spent most of his time scrambling to get out of trouble. And then he was throwing the ball left-handed, which, of course, is kind of crafty.
Yeah.
But it gets not crafty if you don't execute it. And one time he fumbled the ball away.
And they couldn't seem to get the running game going, even though J.J. Taylor looked like he was, getting back to, maybe he wasn't 100%, but he looked like he was getting back there.
This is how I always say it. The opponent matters, and I said this in my column yesterday. The opponent matters, and yesterday or Saturday night it mattered because Washington was much better than Arizona. Top to bottom, it just was. Guess what the rest of the way looks like? Exactly that.
They're going to L.A. to play the Trojans next.
Mm-hmm. Which, a team that's better than Arizona?
Well, they got more talent.
Okay, I'll give you that. Stanford the week after that?
Yeah. Now, is Stanford coming here?
No.
No,
Stanford.
Well, they're going there?
Yes.
Well,
Stanford have more talent?
Yeah.
Okay, that's two.
I'd say Stanford's coaching staff is better than USC's.
Yes, okay, so that means they're better than Arizona's. So then they have Oregon State. I think that's a winnable game, a very winnable game.
It should be.
Yes. And then Utah, not likely.
Not likely.
Okay. That's four games.
And then now we're at what, 5-4?
In terms
after the Utah game?
No, it would be 3 and, Five and four, I guess.
So they'd have to beat Arizona State to have any hope
to get to the
to get to a bowl game.
The funny thing about it is, everyone talks about the bowl game like it means something or it's important, and then they'll get shipped to the Arizona, you know, some kind of menial bowl, smallish bowl. And they say, "Well, it was just a small bowl; it doesn't really matter."
Yeah, but look. Nothing would please the Sun Devils more than to knock them out, knock the Wildcats out of kind of a bowl.
And vice versa, because ASU has probably more to play for at that time of the season.
They could.
And you've been here long enough to know that that game brings a lot of heartache and a lot of craziness to the game. Usually the underdog does a good job and usually wins. So who knows? But that's 6-7 weeks away.
And something else I saw in the game, I wonder if you agree with me with it, on this. Even though the defense seemed to be playing with spirit early on in the game, as things were going downhill in the second half, they couldn't seem to get themselves to regroup. They seemed to get more discouraged as the game went on.
That happens all the time, yeah. When you have no hope or lose that hope in some point of the game, it's just hard to recover. Yes.
They were losing hope in the offense.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the defense was, you mean?
Yeah. That's what I saw.
Yeah, I guess.
And it just discouraged them.
Yeah, I don't know. The defense just couldn't hold Washington State to anything. I think they scored 6 out of 7 drives in the second half.
Yeah, something like that. And let's face it, the Wildcats gave them at least 2 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah, sure. They would have given them more, but Washington didn't capitalize on a couple of things.
Well, they didn't need to.
No, they didn't need to. Imagine if they would have.
So then we saw them pull Khalil for Gunnell.
Yeah, which means nothing because it was so late in the game and, you know, blasé. Yeah, we'll see. I think we're going to see.
You think we'll see more of Gunnell?
Yes, I do.
This might have been a redshirt season. But it may be not now. Huh?
No, yeah. Well, he still has one more game to do that. But I think they'll play him more with the intention that he was never going to redshirt because of how good he is. If he's that good, as good as advertised, he's only going to be here 3 years anyway.
If we can get some receivers that can run good routes and he can find them,
well,
that could be a major difference.
You'll have to wait a year or two for that.
I suppose. Hopefully not two.
If they had him, they would already be using him.
If he could get this season, behind him, wouldn't he be more ready to go next season?
No question, but that means not playing Khalil more.
Playing Khalil less. Right.
So,
that's a possibility. What do you think?
That's hard to say. I'm going to have Matt Moreno here on at 6:15 and see what the gist of the.
Was he at the game too?
Yeah.
You went, right?
Yeah. We did our shows there. See what the feeling of the temperature was today at the press conference. It is what it is. Arizona, we all knew that they'd be in this situation at this point. They're, 4-2 now overall? They were 4-1 going in, and we thought, okay, they'll be 4-1 when the season started. Maybe not under the same circumstances, but... Now comes the heavy loaded season.
Yeah,
they can't
afford to make any mistakes. They don't have the talent to overcome it.
No, yeah, you can't, and you can't have the mistakes that they're having to overcome anything.
Yeah, against a team like Washington, and then they're going to play USC, and then Stanford. Holy cow!
Yeah, if you want to call in, please do 790-2040. My whole thing is, if anybody who thought differently than what I'm saying now, more power to you. But realistically, I think that was kind of maybe fool's gold, if you will, where they won 4 straight and you're thinking, oh, these guys are pretty good. Well, they weren't playing anybody. I think we've said this on the show a number of times. At least I wasn't an alarmist.
So what are we, about a half dozen players away from...
Really good players.
Being able, yeah.
A really bunch of really good players.
At least 3 and 4 stars, if we couldn't even get a 5-star in the mix, but... We're probably going to have to settle for 3 and 4 stars.
Well, that's what Arizona is all about.
Yeah,
it's always been that. And then you have to have the coaches coach them up. They have to.
Yeah,
you know, they have no other choice. Let's take a quick break here. Maybe we'll get Moreno on the phone here at 10:30. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30. The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and now on the phone I have Matt Moreno of Go Easy Cats. Matt, how are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having me back, Steve.
Sure. I wanted to talk to you about how the press conference went today. I was not able to go. So what did you think?
it was interesting. I mean, it started off with a little bit kind of, I don't know if I'd call it snippy, but kind of a little bit different mentality. I think a little bit more on the angry side from Kevin Sumlin, answering questions about, you know, Khalil Tate and the game. And, yeah, it was interesting. He talked about Khalil Tate, and obviously he had kind of an interesting comment after Saturday's game when he was asked if Khalil Tate is healthy, and he said, I don't know. And so he was asked, and someone framed it as, well, shouldn't you know? you're the head coach. You should know if your quarterback is healthy or not. And he kind of rephrased what he meant to say. He said that wasn't the right way to answer that question, and said that he didn't necessarily answer it this time around. He just said everyone's kind of banged up at this point in the year. But it was interesting to hear that and that exchange. And then he talked about Grant Gunnell. He said the red shirt is not on the table. I mean, it was never on the table, according to him. It's not something that's in discussion. So Grant Gunnell is, at this point, going to be playing more the rest of the season, it feels like.
Yeah, no, which, of course, we all thought would happen anyway, given that we think that he's not going to be here for 4 years, right?
Right. No, I don't think it's a shock, but it's definitely nice, I think, to hear Kevin Sumlin say it and knowing, hey, at least there's this clear kind of boundary of, hey, they know that moving forward, he's going to have a chance to play in some more games. And now knowing that, now us as media fans have the expectation, if there is no redshirt, if that's off the table, what's going to prevent us from seeing more Grant Gunnell? And he should be someone that they factor into the game plan some more. And isn't just that guy, I think, is just kind of in there in case something happens to Khalil, because what's the point of burning the redshirt if you're not going to use him?
You're right, no question. So what did he say about Khalil, hurt-wise or otherwise?
He really didn't go into it too much. He just said he shouldn't have answered it that way, and basically said that at this point in the year, there's no one that's 100%. So that kind of gave us our answer, I think, that there is maybe something more there. He didn't really say, oh, yes, he's injured, this is what's going on with him, but didn't necessarily say the opposite either. So it was interesting to hear that.
Right. Of course, and I think I said this on the show, and I wanted to get Michael Lev on the show today, but he was out because he's the one that asked the question. And I thought that was a peculiar question. One, because he didn't appear to be hurt, but I guess it's an obvious question because he always gets hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've talked about this before. We talked about it after the game for a video we did, but you mentioned when was the last time he ran well. And I thought there were moments earlier in the season when he looked healthy. He looked like the type of runner that we've seen. It wasn't over the course of an entire game. It was in small spurts. It was in one or two plays. But I think we saw the opposite of that on Saturday against Washington. There were moments when he didn't look like he knew how to slide.
Right.
He almost got hurt. He almost hurt himself. It looked like trying to fall down and not take a hit. And I think, to me, that's whenever there's been those moments, it feels like there's something more than just him trying to avoid injury. It feels like there is, you know, maybe a lingering injury or something else going on, because when he is fully healthy, we know he runs with a little bit more freedom and is able to do some different things that we just didn't see Saturday night.
Yeah, he's no doubt not the player we saw 2 or 3 years ago when he initiated contact.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest difference that you're seeing, you know, last year's Khalil Tate and this year's Khalil Tate from 2017 is, there was times when he wasn't afraid to truck somebody and to run over a defender and use his size. He's got great size, and you don't want your quarterback doing that. Coaches don't want their quarterbacks doing that, but he took those challenges head on and was fine, you know, creating contact and playing the contact. And it feels like, you know, definitely Saturday and even last season and early this year, he was doing everything he could to avoid contact, even if it meant running out of bounds and losing yards and taking a sack.
Would you guys agree that we saw more of the old Khalil Tate in the Colorado game, especially the second half?
The old, meaning what, 2 years ago?
Running better. Running with a little more abandon.
Well, we didn't see him run the whole heck of a lot. He passed the ball in that game. Last week, you're talking about? The previous week?
The Colorado game.
Yeah, this last couple days, 10 days ago, right? About 10 days ago?
Nine days.
Well, he didn't pass. He was more of a dinker and dunker and that guy.
Well, didn't he have a long run?
Maybe one. Moreno, help me here. Do you remember?
The Texas Tech game, I think, is the one that we all think about when he had the 84-yard run. That really
is that. Maybe that's what I'm thinking about, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, they ran him on an 84-yard run. It was a play that looked very reminiscent of 2017. And, you know, he split two defenders. And, you know, when you're playing a team, their defensive backs are supposed to be the fastest guys in the field, and they couldn't catch him.
I wonder.
It looked like it looked like a different Khalil Tate. It looked like the 2017 Khalil Tate.
Yeah. Do you think he may have gotten injured in the Texas Tech game?
Oh, he did, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's probably the injury that's lingering, huh?
Well,
and that's the thing. When you go back to when he was injured last year against Houston, and had to miss, you know, the rest of missed the UCLA game, and he played the rest of the season kind of injured. He looked different. He looked similar to what he looked like Saturday night, which is why it was so shocking when he came back against Colorado, and he looked pretty good passing the ball and doing some different things. He obviously didn't run very much in that game, but when he's been injured, over the times we've covered him and we've known he's had injuries, he looked a lot like how he looked Saturday night to me, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. But this is not all on Khalil Tate. In fact, in my story, I kind of praised him because he handled the press very well, or at least Lev's questions very well at the end of the game. He was not snippy. He was straightforward in his thoughts, and he was pretty good with that.
Yeah, I mean, he's done this a while, and he's, you know, getting towards the end of his career at Arizona and in college. And yeah, I mean, I thought he seemed very level-headed about the entire situation, which I think is what you want from your quarterback. You want, you know, your leaders to not be panicked at a moment like this, because as much as it feels like a major loss, and it is, you know, a significant loss for this team, it isn't the end of the season. And I think for them, they know that, you know, there's more games to play and they can still do a lot of good things this year if they get going on the right track. But yeah, it was definitely not all on Khalil Tate. I mean, and a lot of people were talking about Grant Gunnell and how much more success he would have if he would have been, you know, put into the game earlier. And I don't think Grant Gunnell or really any quarterback is going to do much against Washington defense. And Arizona's offensive line really struggled in that game. And you really have to make sure that you keep Grant Gunnell confident, because he's going to be the guy eventually. And you don't want to throw him out there in a situation where he can't win.
I think
that would have been the scenario.
You mentioned the offensive line. Were there changes in line? Was Creason playing in the place he usually plays, or was he in a different position?
Well, they had Peyton Fears, who usually has been in a rotation at right tackle. They moved him inside to left guard because Robert Conjol was banged up. And Kevin Sumlin talked about that today. He mentioned that it's still something they're trying to figure out what they want to do, because he said, you know, they could have their best five players out there with Peyton Fears playing left guard, but he hasn't done it before Saturday. Or they could have kept that same rotation at right tackle, had him kind of playing half the game and having Edgar Barola play half the game, and use someone else like Bryson Cane at left guard, although he's not one of their top five in their mind, offensive linemen. So that's kind of the battle that Kevin Sumlin said that him and the coaching staff are trying to figure out right now, because there were changes, and I thought that showed up in the game Saturday, and you could see, you know, the impact of not having everybody available, and it'll be interesting to see how they approach this week with that.
Let me say this, and you know how I feel about this. The difference to this point was one thing and one thing only. Washington was a better team than Texas Tech, better than UCLA, better than Hawaii, better than Northern Arizona. They just were. And that's what happened when you play against a better team. Guess what's going to happen this weekend? The same thing, because they're playing a better team now, this time on the road. I could be totally wrong, but I'm going to stick with that until I die.
No, I think there's plenty of validity to that. I mean, I think it felt like one of those games where the talent just won out. Like I said, you could even put it in high school football terms for people who watch football, you know, around Tucson and around Phoenix. When, you know, one of those teams from Phoenix comes down to play a team from Tucson, and you know, it's a lot of times a team from Tucson will hang in there, and you say, oh, they're in the game at halftime, and, you know, the team from Phoenix has a bunch of stars, and, you know, they have guys that are going to be playing on Saturdays and Sundays. And then eventually, you know, there's moments when those teams just pull away. And that's what it felt like to me for Arizona was the talent won out. Arizona was able to hang around even with all its mistakes, but the more talented team ended up winning the game. And that's, we've seen that a lot in, you know, you see it in high school football and college all the time.
Yes, no question. What do you think is going to happen this weekend? And not to give a prediction, but Helton's in trouble, obviously. Will he still be the coach, and will they play hard for him the rest of the way?
Yeah, it's an interesting scenario. I'm not sure what to make of it. I don't think it'll be interesting to see what the players talk about tomorrow when we get a chance to meet with them and see kind of where the mindset is of the team. But I don't really know what to make of Arizona still. I don't know if they're going to be the type of team to come back from this and, you know, be Washington, play like Washington did against Arizona after they lost to Stanford. USC, don't really know what to make of them. They're dealing with some injuries and things like that. But I think Arizona's going to be able to be competitive, but this game, for whatever reason, it gets in Khalil Tate's head, and it hasn't gone well for Arizona when he's been the quarterback. And we'll see if that changes. But I don't know that I'm super confident in Arizona's ability right now to bounce back from what happened Saturday night.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, because you take a quick bunch. What's that saying from Mike Tyson? Everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face. And I think this was that punch in the face. Because, you know, Arizona played, I thought they played really well with confidence in the first half, had been recently. And then, well, now you step up in class, and now it's not as easy as you think it is. And then, voila, here we go.
Yeah, and when you look at the schedule, you look at a lot of the teams that are coming up, maybe outside of Oregon State, the talent is going to be better, and they're going to be, you know, the less talented team on the field.
Right,
look at pure talent, and that's, we saw what happened in one game with that, and it'll be interesting to see how they figure that out and overcome that as they move forward.
We got to go, Matt. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon. We'll take a break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. And let me just get you an update. The Detroit Lions were beating the Green Bay Packers 13-0. Now it's 13-7 with about a minute and a half left at the break here on Monday Night Football at the halfway point. And then what's going on with the Washington Nationals? They're beating up on St. Louis. I think it's 5-0 here in the fifth or something like that. Unbelievable. They beat the Dodgers. Now they're crushing the Cardinals. And then tomorrow the Yankees play the Astros, which should be a great series. It's 1-1. Both teams are very, very good. Obviously, the second best team slated by Vegas was the Dodgers, and then the Astros and the Yankees were 1-3. So
what's Vegas doing with the Nationals now?
Yeah, I don't know, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens with them, because they're playing lights out against St. Louis. I don't think they have what it takes to beat either the Astros or the Yankees, but they've been very impressive to this point.
What's their pitching like? Do they have the kind of pitching that Yankees have?
Not as good. Not as good, but they're very strong. You saw the Sanchez had a one-hitter into the ninth, I think it was, or eighth. And then Scherzer came back and did his magic. So, interesting. You know what I'm saying. Washington came back and won their second game. So now they're up big in the third game, so we'll see what happens. Interesting. I don't follow it as much as I used to as a kid, or even recently, because I'm too busy doing other things. But
Either. But I'll probably watch the World Series.
Oh yeah. It's kind of like it's the equivalent of the NBA Finals, because no one really pays attention until the NBA Finals.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the playoffs.
Yeah,
yeah. And it's fun. It's fun baseball. I grew up watching it with my kids, with my dad actually, and a little with my kids, not so much. But those were the good old days. The best series I remember was the 75 World Series with the Reds and the Red Sox. I was 12 years old, and the Reds were my team, and obviously Carlton Fisk, a home run in Game 6.
Well, how do you think the Yankees-Astros series is going to turn out?
That's tough.
Is this the best four out of
seven?
Seven,
yeah. That's tough. I think I would, if I were a gambling man, I would pick Houston. But obviously the Yankees are very good, so who knows? Who knows? I have no dog in the fight, so I'm okay with that. The Detroit Lions, what's up with them? They're playing really well. After they tied the Cardinals in the first game, they've played really well so far. There's a lot of weird games over the weekend.
Yeah, well, not the least of which is the Jets-Cowboys game.
Yeah, well, that tells you a lot of things. The Cowboys aren't as good as everybody had them as the best playing team 2 weeks ago. Who's the best team in the the Cowboys? Shut up! It's 3 weeks into the season. You're playing fairly well, okay, but you never know. You just never know. Every game is different. Every game is different, even against the Jets or the who's the worst team, the Miami Dolphins or the Dolphins.
Well, they're down there, Washington Redskins.
Well, they played the Dolphins yesterday and beat the Dolphins.
All right, so that puts the Dolphins at the bottom.
And look what's going on in Phoenix. They won two straight. I know Snake is happier than he was last week or 2 weeks ago. They're finally winning games.
Who did the Falcons play yesterday?
They played the Cardinals.
And they lost, so.
Yes. The Falcons are down there too.
Yeah.
Those birds ain't flying.
No.
So we'll see what happens. Cincinnati's not very good either. You know, I used to follow this all the time, and I just don't anymore because I'm not too sure. But if anybody wants to call in, please do 790-2040. Scott
needs the Titans play the Chiefs yesterday?
No, Texans played the Chiefs.
They beat them, right?
Yes, it was a very strange game too. The Chiefs came out. I thought that was like my best bet of the day. The Chiefs, they came out right away, scored right away. They looked great, and then they kind of just.
That was probably a lock for a lot of procrastinators, or what am I thinking?
Prognosticators.
I'm a procrastinator. Yeah, not a prognosticator.
No, right. I thought they'd kill him, and then Texas came back and won the game. Yeah, they have a good quarterback, too, or as well. So
shaping up to be a pretty interesting season.
Yeah, all the way around. Obviously, the big teams, again, the Patriots. I thought Green Bay would be okay or better. They played last week.
So far, the Patriots are following the script.
Yeah, I saw somewhere that on the internet, I don't know if it was fake news or whatever, and I never use that term, ever we use that term, that Brady was unhappy with the situation. I said, well, what kind of unhappiness can you be in? It's the quarterback of the best team. He's still a stud at 40-something.
Well, wasn't he upset about them giving away the tight end that he liked so much? They traded away their tight end?
If that was the case, okay. As they say in my world, lo siento. Oh, I feel sorry for you.
Well, you know, we don't know how Tom Brady really feels, but there was some speculation about that. That he wasn't very happy with his coach.
He'll be fine.
Mr. Belichick.
He'll be fine. Anybody want to call in, please do 790-2040. And we're going to have Lamont Hundley here at 6:45 talking about the game. He's going to be a regular contributor to my show every Monday, I think, after a football game, UA football game. He's obviously the owner of Arizona Health. Always like talking to Lamont. He was in last week in the studio. Had a lot of fun with him. This week I plan on talking to a lot of people on the phone from our past. Ran into some people, I won't say whom, but ex-football players here at U of A, and people who watch or listen to the show, know that I kind of get a hold of the old timers back from the 80s and 90s and a little even later than that or even earlier than that. So we'll see what I get this weekend before they go to USC. I'm trying to get a quarterback, an older quarterback, to talk about his life and what's going on right now, and get maybe some basketball people too. No one's really clamoring for UA Hoops information. It's been pretty quiet out there because we haven't had access to them with the media, so it's going to be a while, probably another week or 10 days before we go out there again.
Who was the young guy that played the national anthem on the electronic piano?
Oh, the freshman.
Oh, I can't remember his name. It's N something.
Yeah, Najee. I'll get it for you. But remember the guy that we were in? God, you and I are way too old to be doing this. now I lost his name too. The guy that we were talking about, big guy, who did fairly well, and you were saying, what's he going to do with all these big guys? He came in from last year. Hold on. I'm getting the... It's sad. My memory is going bad. And that's not good. As I search the web for my stats.
Well, he may be one to watch.
Who? Oh, the kid who played the piano?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why can't I remember his name?
I can't even see it here. It's not even on the roster. Oh, we'll get to it. Here it is. It's hidden from me. Hold on. It is going to be Mr. Zeke Najee. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was. I didn't want to misspeak. But the other one was Ira Lee. Remember you said last week you had talked to me about what's his situation going to be? He'll still be the same guy. He's a bull in a china shop. He's less of a bull in a china shop than he was last year.
That's good.
More for now. Yeah, but he's still going to get in foul trouble. We know that. That's kind of a given. He plays with a lot of energy, has a lot of fun out there, but also thinks too much about the game. I think that's one of his holds up. He thinks too much before he actually just reacts. So we'll see. I like I said before, when I wrote that column, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, was I really like this team. I really do. It's very strange that they were picked fourth in the league, but who cares? I think they'll finish at least second.
So Sean is going to take them up to Phoenix this weekend to play St. Mary's in a closed scrimmage.
Okay. They always play St. Mary's. They always play those teams.
I know. They don't let anybody come in to watch the game.
They're not allowed. NCAA rules.
The first preseason game is going to be where in November?
Mm-hmm. November 1st, Chico State.
Oh, good old Chico State. All right.
Good Chico State. Long. It's going to be a long road. It's, November, December, 5 months after this. It's 5.5 months from now, five total, to see how well they do. But I really like this team a lot more than I've liked the last year's for sure. The year before was all the trouble with Ayton and then Trier and Raleigh and that group that just didn't like get along with each other.
It sounds like you're hoping the same thing I'm hoping for, and that is that the word team is going to mean something.
Right. No, and I think that's the case. I think that's definitely the case because without a good team, you're not going to go very far.
These
individuals, and obviously looking forward to seeing Josh Green and Nico Mannion and all these guys played together. We'll see. You know, Chase Jeter, didn't see him in the red-blue game, and some of the others. I really like the guy Stone Gettings. I really do. I think that he's going to help them kind of be cohesive as a team and think basketball, not individual accolades.
Well, the more that we seem to find out about the team in these little dribs and drabs, the more encouraging it sounds for the development of the younger players.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Hey, let's take a break so we can get a hold of Lamont and Hundley here on the other side.
All right, let's let Tom get his break music.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host, and now on the phone, Lamont Hundley. Lamont, how are you?
Oh, we're good this evening, Steve. How about yourself, buddy?
Fine, thank you. Good to come on the show real quick.
Anytime, you know.
I'm sure you went to the game on Saturday night.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I was front and center.
What was your view from your front and center seat?
Well, you know, the major thing that I did notice, especially on the defensive end, where it comes to Washington, game planning. I think Washington put together a great game plan as far as securing Tate and keeping Tate in the pocket and keeping him from getting outside and going to the edges and have an opportunity to explore the whole field where he's more dangerous. I think the defensive coordinator for Washington did an excellent job as far as concealing Tate. I think the defensive lines for Washington over time throughout the game pretty much dominated our defensive line. They basically just overpowered them, pushed them up and down the field, pushed them inside the linebackers, who was basically a non-factor in the second half. I mean, I was sitting there trying to remember the last tackle that Scooter had, and as well as Fields. I mean, Fields had the pressure once or twice, but other than that, they really was non-factors because they was too busy keeping their defensive linemen out of their chest.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, isn't that what kind of football is about? If you're a better team, overtime, you know, first half or whatever, the better team overpowers the little team.
Yeah. I mean, that is a good assessment. It's a true assessment, you know, and that's probably in anything athletically. You know, the strong will overpower, you know, throughout the process of the actual game itself, and you know, because they're going to wear them down. I mean, you get you know 300 pounds and constantly on you. I mean, your body got you know get worn down and then get tired, and it's enough's enough. And not only your body get tired, but also you become mentally tired, and now you're thinking too much and wondering what can I do differently to be able to deal with my opponent that's in front of me who's physically beating me. You know, so all those different things does go into, you know, the mindset of an athlete or or football player in this case.
This is not all on Khalil for me, not at all. Mm-hmm. He was he was up against like a big team, obviously a tough mm-hmm. team and a good game plan, like you said. So there's still a lot of room to improve, but he did do some strange things, you know, try to throw with his left hand a couple of times.
Yeah,
I think that he suffers from what a lot of good athletes suffer from, trying to do too much.
Yes. Yeah, and I agree with that also. But on the flip side of it, Steve, he's a senior. And a lot of these things that he's doing, he shouldn't be doing at this
right.
point of his career.
Good point.
And, you know, you talk about throwing the ball out unnecessarily with the left hand. He did that twice, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yes.
And, you know, the one that really gets me is when he's scrambling to the sideline, got an opportunity to throw the ball away, but he chose to run out of bounds and lose 5 to 6 mm-hmm. yards.
Yes.
You know, so again, that's just, you know, mental toughness and understanding of field situation or what's in front of you. And as a senior, it's unexcusable. I mean, he should not be putting himself or our team in that situation where he's making these unexcusable mistakes as a senior.
Right, right. You think that time and circumstance would be dictated that, you know, you'd already know that by now.
Oh, of course. I mean, he should be way ahead of that maturity-wise and mentally wise, as far as assessing the game and knowing the game and studying, you know, it's just become a natural reaction. Just like if he's back there scrambling and the first thing he wants to do is take off and run. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, it's you're just a natural athlete, and you know these things going to take place or are taking place. So here's the best thing that I should be doing to put myself and my team in a better situation.
Yeah, no question. Talking to Lamont Hundley here from Arizona Health, a great sponsor of mine on the show. You know, at halftime, I'm thinking, you know, I have no dog in the fight. I'm here to just cover the team. And they're up by 17-13, I think it was. And I'm thinking, this team is playing very confidently. They have this team. They should be down more. They're not. They have the lead, in fact. And I'm thinking 47,000 people are cheering them as they go into the locker room. I'm saying, they have a lot of confidence. Who knows what's going to happen? And then the second half started. What did you think in the first half?
I think I was in the same mindset as you, Steve, in regards to being able to overcome the turnovers that they were confronted with first in the first half. I mean, unnecessary block punt that led to mm-hmm. a field goal, mm-hmm. you know. Tate turning the ball over on an unnecessary scramble that the ball got knocked. Well, I didn't think the ball got knocked out of his hand. I think he just released the ball and tried to throw it. And so those unnecessary things that we as offense and a special team put ourselves in, and to be able to overcome it and just give up just 3 points and not more, and then, like you say, going into half leading. I mean that right there should have been more than a confidence boost for our team as far as coming out in the third quarter. But when they came out of the third quarter, I thought it was a whole different team that mm-hmm. went in.
I totally agree.
Now, to me, Steve, that's comes with coaching again,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, and that comes with when you get a team and you see that these guys are thinking or feeling or in their eyes, they thinking that this thing is over. I mean, this is when the opportunity come as a coaching staff to get into their chest and let them know this is not done. This is not over yet. I mean, this is one of the best team in the Pac-12 that we're playing up against. So we got to come back in the second half with our A game. And if we don't, the outcome is what it was.
Yeah, no question. Let me ask you a dumb question mm-hmm. that might be a dumb one. So you're playing defense. You played defense all your life, and mm-hmm. you did it well with a good group of tough dudes. Mm-hmm. And you see that the offense is not doing their job or they're not coming through. How does that make you feel as a unit? Not so much individual, but as a unit.
Well, it makes us feel defeated. I mean, because the fact if I'm out there working my backside off and, you know, doing everything I can to make sure we get a W, and then you can see, you know, my offense in this case, or even the special teams, is not raising up to the same level that we are, you know, comes point in time that me as a player to a player, I'll go over there and let them know how I feel. You know, I need you guys to rise like we're rising. You know, we need to be off the field as a defense, and you need to stay on the field and control things. You need to get your head in this game, you know, and allow us to, you know, win this thing and be on the positive on the outcome of the game here.
Right.
And I'm wrong with that as an athlete because, again, I always want to win. So I'm going to let everybody that's a part of my family, a part of my team, let them know how I feel. And, you know, maybe there are some players that's doing that, and who knows, maybe it's not. I couldn't tell you because I'm not in the huddle with them and to figure that one out. But I daggone sure hope that there is some guys with that fire in their belly that want to make sure, you know, the Tates of the world and defensive linemen and offensive linemen is raising to the occasion so we can win this game.
Right, right. It doesn't look good moving forward. It just doesn't with the schedule. And I think you and I have talked about that before.
Yeah.
It was easy on the front end and tough on the back end.
Right. And you're right. I mean, going over to SC now, playing in the Coliseum is overtaking with that just by itself because, I mean, you're playing in that big old stadium and all of those fans are right on top of you and yelling and screaming. And then here we go another, a bigger team, a bigger offensive line and a bigger defensive line than what we've been dealing with. So now we got to confront that. And you know, the Oregon States of the world and the Oregons of the world, they're playing good football. And Stanford's going to be another physical team that we got to come up against down the line, as well as Utah.
Yeah,
so it's going to be a tough battle, and I just hope that, you know, there can be some adjustments made and some reality checks made in regards to our coaching staff, and put the onus on the coaching staff. I think Kevin had made statements a couple of times that we didn't coach well. You know, and it's time to coach well. You know, it's time to get those kids, you know, believing in the fact that I'm gonna give you a great game plan. I'm gonna put you in the best situation to go out there and to defeat our opponent. But it starts Saturday night, right after that game was over.
Right. No. In fact, I really didn't notice that, but you're right. He did say that he was outplayed, outcoached, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
When people when coaches say that, you're thinking, okay, he's just saying that. But actually, they were outcoached. Yeah,
they were, and you can see it. I mean, you can see that to the naked eye as far as adjustments and movements and not being able to adjust to them. And I know you got four guys on the defensive line constantly penetrating up the middle. They basically, their defensive front was determined to force Tate to be on his wheels the whole time.
Right.
And Tate was backpedaling. He constantly backpedaling. He never was able to really get his feet underneath him to get the ball down the field. He was constantly backpedaling. And when you got, a dominant defensive line that's taking over your guards and your tackles and picking them up and putting them in the quarterback lap, come on now. There's a lot of you know, looking in the mirror, we all need to do.
Yeah. Thank you, Lamont. Take care.
Brother.
Appreciate it.
All right. God bless you, baby.
Thank you, Rich. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Tuesday.